Okay, why don't we get started? Sarah, can you call the roll?
All right. The roll. 7:35. Tom Carty.
Here.
Dan Hollenbach.
Here.
Kathleen Hughes. One more time.
Here.
Thanks. Don Mazgala.
Here.
Ron Lamar.
Here.
John Rieger. No, he said he's probably joining later. Annette Madden.
Here.
Ingrid Liu.
Here.
Catherine Christmas. Catherine?
She's here. Catherine, we can see you.
Yeah, she said she's having some audio issues, so we'll make her is here though. Joel Luking?
Here.
Lori Gillard?
Here.
Jack Flynn? Julie Armstrong?
Here.
Marta Kosper?
Here.
And Catherine, you want to try again? You here?
I think you can note her as being here.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to check if her audio is working. Okay.
Before we start the meeting, Lori had asked that we amend the agenda to switch around things. So I actually formally need a motion for that. So Lori, can you make a motion to amend to bring yours of the to the top of the new business section?
So I would like to amend the agenda so that we discuss the draft recommendations for a community-based deer management plan. And then, you know, just bump the other thing down because I believe it's out of order.
I don't disagree. So I just need a second and then we'll do a roll call.
I'll second.
Was that?
That was Joel.
Joel, okay, thank you. Okay. Tom Carty?
Yes.
Dan Hollenbach?
Yes.
Kathleen Hughes?
Yes.
Don Mazgala?
Yes.
Ron Lamar? Ron?
I'm mute.
Sorry about that. Yes.
Okay, thank you. John Rieger, absent. Annette Madden?
Yes.
Ingrid Liu?
Yes.
Catherine Christmas? She says she's reloading Zoom.
Right. I gave a thumbs up.
She gave a thumbs up.
We'll,
I think that's
we'll
enough.
Count that as a yes. Joel Luking?
Yes.
Lori Gillard.
Lori, you're muted.
Yes, yeah.
Jack Flynn's absent. Julie Armstrong?
Yes.
And Marta Kosberg?
Yes.
All right, motion passes.
And just to remind everyone, I know that these votes, these roll call votes are annoying, but because we're doing this remotely, the Open Meetings Act requires a roll call vote on everything. We can't do things by voice vote. So I do apologize. Next up is the public comments. Susan Voigt, I'm assuming you're here for public comment.
I'm not planning on speaking, no.
Oh,
thank you.
Mary Vanker, did you have a public comment?
No, I do not.
Okay. Janine? I don't, Janine's iPhone is
yes.
All I got. So,
yes.
Did you have a public comment?
Can you hear me? Yes, I would love to make a public comment.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that.
Janine?
Yes.
Just real quick, can you just announce your first name, last name, and your address, please?
Sure. My name is Janine Turner. I am a resident in Oak Park, so I live in 428 South Maple, and been a resident of Oak Park for almost 20 years. And so I guess my public comment was I wanted to come and support the dear of Thatcher Woods, I suppose. I heard about this meeting as I was walking through through Thatcher Woods and taking pictures of the deer. And somebody mentioned to me that this meeting was going on and that if I really, you know, if I was enjoying the deer, then I should probably speak up for them. And so I guess my comment was, I find them so incredibly graceful, and I find Thatcher Woods absolutely a magical place. And so I really wanted to come and speak out against a program that would be eliminating the deer, and hopefully that another strategy could be found or discussed that would allow the deer and the residents to live, to coexist without destroying the deer population. So I guess that is my public comment.
Thank you.
And I even uploaded some pictures just to get everybody motivated.
Tom, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Are we allowed to, just to clarify any, to a public comment, it's not eradicating the deer, it would be population management. Just, I think that's an important point that sometimes we, maybe folks forget.
Are there any more people that would like to make public comments? Okay, let's move on to the approval of the minutes from last meeting. Can I have a motion to approve?
Approve it.
Lori. And a second? Anyone want to second that? Ron, Lori beat you to motioning, so why don't you second? Oh,
okay. I'll second it then.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Sarah, let's do the roll call.
Right. Bear with me, everyone. Okay. Tom Cargi.
Yes.
Dan Hollenbach.
Yes.
Kathleen Hughes.
Kathleen Hughes.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out that echo. Ron Dizgala.
Yes.
Ron Lamar.
Yes.
John is absent. Annette Madden.
Yes.
Ingrid Liu.
So I'm going to admit that I didn't read the minutes from last meeting. So can I just abstain or?
You're free to vote present if you want.
Present.
Catherine Christmas.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear a lot.
Echo, right?
This is weird. We currently have you on three different channels.
So I see Catherine signed in like three times, and I'm sure that's probably why.
I think so too.
Okay. Now can you hear me?
Catherine, you're connected to the Zoom on three different channels. So I'm not sure if it's like three different devices, so maybe just move two of them.
I had this experience.
It's like a Pink Floyd album.
All right, we'll come back to her. Joel?
Yes.
Lori Gillard?
Yes.
Jack Flynn, absent. Julie Armstrong?
Yes.
Thank you. And Marta Kosberg?
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Next up is the reports from subcommittees. Are there anything from the three subcommittees to report? Julie, do you have anything?
No, I don't, Tom.
Can we get this feedback muted? It's really annoying.
Catherine, I'm not sure where you're at now because I don't see you anywhere, but you've got three different Zoom portals open and only one of them is muted.
She sent me a message that she's going to restart her computer, and I don't hear any echo right now. So maybe
log in one time. So I'm trying to help her offline, Tom.
Okay. I mean, we can. Joel, did your subcommittee have any reports?
Negative.
And John Rager, who's on John Rager's? Who else is on John Rager's committee?
I am. I don't think we have anything to
report. I am.
Do they have?
Yeah, but the thing is, actually, so.
And Ingrid or Dan, do you guys have anything to report?
No.
Oh no.
So we're to you, Lori. The next up is the discussion of alternative methods to deer control.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I'm not muted. Okay. So I just want you to know that like what we're doing is like not unique. This is happening in a lot of communities around the US, as you can imagine. So I spent a lot of time looking at this, actually the website we were provided with early on in this meeting, and it's through Cornell University. And it has wonderful resources. So this just gives you all these templates, and it gives you different references, and gives people will share how they did it where they live. So I just went in, and I literally, they even do a training program, which is, you know, it's through Canvas, and it maybe takes an hour, but you can go through and you read how they recommend you do it. So I decided that it would be nice to have something that we could actually have that's tangible, that would give us a way to have credibility with whatever we recommend, because this is the sort of thing that these people who are authorities have been doing for the last X number, like this one guy, 30 plus years, and he really felt, that's why I was asking you to move that action item, because it's out of order, but that's okay. I just want to share this because like we're all kind of, you know, this is new to all of us. So anyway, I'm just going to go through it, and it was sent to you. And I don't know if you want to share the screen, Sarah, to just show people what I'm following through. And I'm just going to walk you through what you got to have to really have an effective deer management program.
Can I just note for the record that John Rager is now part of the meeting?
Okay. I have to say roll call now.
I just wanted to give Sarah a note for time for when to get him.
Okay.
Lori, I can share my screen. I'm just not sure like what page you're looking at.
I'm just looking at the first page where it says recommendation. I'll just read through it. It's not really that long, but just listen to what we need. We've collected some really excellent data with our survey, but we have a responsibility to the community to respond to the different things people have said. And I went through and I tallied up comments, and there are 800 and some odd comments. And you know, we all have looked at that. So I think that we're in a really great position to suggest that we establish a permanent deer committee so we can really have a timeline of like 5 to 10 years. But let me go through what they recommend, because the one thing, this guy, his name is Dr. Paul Curtis from Cornell, and he's got 30 plus years of doing this. He said the one mistake he sees communities do is they jump into something fast and they don't have a plan, they waste money, they waste resources. And in the end, it doesn't make it better. So that's why I really, when I started going through this, I thought if we're gonna do this right, let's do it right from the get-go. So I'm just, it's my recommendation, but I think it's pretty good. So I'm just gonna go ahead and go through. So basically it starts with plan summary and background. So we need to provide a brief summary of the contents of the village deer management plan, like action selected and general timeline for implementation. We need to recommend a permanent committee to the River Forest. This is all my opinion, by the way. So if you don't agree, it's okay. But this is what I was thinking. Village trustees. Within this permanent committee, it's really important to include a third party wildlife biologist. And I was thinking somebody from U of I, but somebody who can come in without bias or potential conflict was brought up in our survey responses. There were a number of people who said, we want somebody who is not biased and has ulterior motives or whatever, but we do have concerns. We do need somebody with professional advice. Anyway, so and the other thing that this Dr. Curtis was saying, that the communities that are successful with this, they have a line item within the village budget. So if the village budget administration changes, I mean, we have our little village election coming up in April, but it won't drop off. So that way we can carry it forward if we really are committed to creating like a good, dear human coexistence and, you know, management. Okay. We also, because these are things I noticed, we just do not have the details that we should have. Provide a description of the area targeted for management, the location and size. If a DEER committee was convened to help create the DEER management plan, you have to include how committee members were selected, the process by whom, criteria for selection, et cetera. I mean, it's legit to say you're a master gardener and that's one of, that's your criteria, or, you know, you can have, you know, and Joel is like the, you know, he's our official Lyme's disease representative, you know, that kind of thing. So we would include dates and milestones and decision-making process used to create the plan. So we really have to include like a purpose, what's the plan overall purpose in this whole thing. So we have to have a problem definition. So we got to describe the problem that the village is facing and include in the discussion the primary impact of the deer problem, impacts to habitat, impacts to ornamental plantings, public health, safety impacts. But we have to have data. You can't just say, well, we think this. It's not good enough. We have to have some way to measure it. So describe the impacts that are driving the problem. And then we got to demonstrate the links between management actions selected and the objectives that these actions will help meet and the impacts the objectives help address. So, you know, I go into more detail about it, but you know, you have to, for instance, identify where or whom the impacts are occurring, how severe they are, and how they have changed over time. Again, you got to have some data. We have to have goals. So we have to include goals that the deer management program hopes to achieve. So you can't say, I know maybe there are some people who think, oh, you can just fix everything by, you know, removing the deer, but it's not that simple. So we need to have examples of goals. And maybe it says like maintaining a socially acceptable level for deer population. Like what is the ideal population? Like we don't even know what the deer herd numbers are. So that's something, and people brought that up a lot in the survey. So it's very, it's critical to have community buy-in that we have this information correct. Another goal might be preserving healthy local forest land. And this would need an evaluation in order to measure improvement. I mean, you can't just say something without having a measure to show whether or not you're achieving the goal. Supporting a community that is well-educated on how to live with deer while reducing human-deer conflict. And this is actually something we could even start or recommend starting like soon. So the bottom line is these goals have to be realistic and achievable. And they, another thing that was mentioned, are there any statewide, you know, deer management programs or things within Cook County? Like, I don't think we've really looked to see if we could align with what's already out there just to make our job a little easier. Okay, measurable outcomes or objectives. So include measurable objectives with target dates, and you have to be able to track the progress, the achievement of which demonstrate accomplishments of the goals of the river forest deer management. So objectives are directed towards the number and behavior of deer. We need to have data to support this objective directed towards increasing community knowledge about deer and deer management. Like what's driving deer behavior, deer resistant planting, that kind of thing. And that's something we could do like in the near future. Reduce the number of deer vehicle collisions, like provide annual data, because then we could say one of our goals is to reduce the number. I know people have these concerns, but we need to make sure, you know, we have some numbers there. Increase and maintain stands of certain forest plant species to some density. And the forest preserve, actually Catherine, and I thought this was so interesting. She sent us all that stuff. I looked and here the Cook County, the forest preserve has been doing these things in different parts of the forest preserve. I think it's time that we kind of demand that they come and help us, because this is an issue. And if we want to do it right, we're going to need them to be involved. The other thing I thought, this would be kind of a cool thing, is not only getting for the forest preserve involved, but getting our community involved. And that way you get people vested in what we're doing. So I can't even think of the name of the thing. My son was going and trying to pull up these trees that were like a parasite on other trees. But if we could get like the high school and the community college involved in like ecology projects for the Thatcher Woods, I mean, I just think that would be a win-win for everybody. Okay, so back to whatever we do, we have to have measurable objectives that are tied to indicators, because we have to show we know we have a purpose for what we're doing and what we're driving towards. And the other thing, and this was something I, you know, it says it's also important to start with identifying objectives, not action items. And this was actually straight out of their recommendations. So I just mentioned it because when I saw that action item, I thought we're out of order here. We still have work to do before we can get to that point. But we have management actions recommended. And this is important because in the community survey, many residents had recommendations. I mean, be it contraceptives, or an audit. Well, the thing is, whatever people ask about, we have to talk about it. Is it feasible? Is it not feasible? What have other communities done? Putting up fencing along Thatcher over by Dominican, additional signage, adding lights, stop signs to slow traffic along Thatcher. But you know what? We cannot deny what people have asked us to consider. I mean, we have a responsibility to the community. We gave them a survey, they took the time to fill it out, and we have all this information. So we have to have a plan for monitoring. So we need to have that list of indicators, and we have to be able to assess progress towards achieving these objectives. It's important to identify each one with specific data you're gonna collect, and who's gonna collect the data, and how it'll be done. And who will be conducting aerial surveys for the deer count, because they have done it in other parts of the forest preserve. So I really feel we need to have a conversation with the forest preserve, because why are we picking up as our little village cost of this? This is obviously much more involved than just like one action item. And you know what I'm referring to. This is really something that's much more broad. And I feel like deer management is like a ladder with multiple rungs, and we want to do it right. We're going to need to do each piece. So, and we have to have a plan for public engagement. So we have to make the community survey. And this is important because I saw this as a request in our comments that they wanted to know what people thought. And I really think it's so important to get our community involved in this so they understand it's not just about this little group of people who just want to get rid of deer. It's not even that. We got to figure out what exactly do we need to get rid of? Like, you cannot say we're going to get rid of deer when we don't even know how many deer there are, because we don't even know what the right number is. So that's like one of the things that we need. And that was brought up multiple times in the survey. So we have to talk about a budget. And I know Tom has talked about it a little bit, but I don't understand any of that. This stuff all has to get written down so that we can have estimated costs for the plan each year that the effort's funded. We need to identify one-time costs, you know, over the year costs, ongoing costs. We need to be really comprehensive. We need to have a timetable, and we need to know who's responsible for these different things. So including the affiliations of the responsible party. So for example, a particular action can be responsibility of the deer committee or the village president or friends of the deer or whatever. But I really think that we have to think about the bigger picture for what we want to do, because I think we're at a place where we can really make an impact to help solve this problem. And I think we have resources at our fingertips that we can, you know, we can do something with it. So anyway, I put the link to where you can get these different templates. I just think that there's so much that we have the ability to do, and we can do some really great things that will really benefit our community. And whether you're on one side of the deer issue or on the other, I feel like there are things that we can do to show our community that we are trying to address these different issues. So that's why I really do feel strongly. The only action that I personally can recommend is that we formulate something that we can present to the village, that we can say we want to have this deer plan. So, sorry, my dogs, somebody, they can hear me getting all passionate about this. So anyway, that's just my 2 cents about it. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
Yeah,
Thank you, Lori. Kathleen?
Lori, I love your passion, and I've really enjoyed working with you on the questionnaire committee. I do have some responses, and I think we talked about this a little bit the last time. I do think we're going in circles again, and I think we're forgetting some of the reasons of why we got here. I think the difference is with what you mentioned that some of the other communities are doing is that this is not our land. It's deer on forest preserve land that some people feel is encroaching in our ability to enjoy where we live, blah, 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 blah. So that's a big thing that we can't forget. This is not our land. It is, we've discussed ad nauseum that the forest preserve, that this should be their issue. That's a dead end as we understand it, given their funding issues. But the whole crux of the justifying the problem or the issue was that the village was getting so many complaints. They were hitting a dead end with the forest preserve. And Tom, correct me if I'm wrong. They were hitting a dead end with the forest preserve being able to do anything, although they have carefully acknowledged that there is a deer overpopulation. And I say carefully because we are able to get that email from them. But if they go too far on record saying how big of a problem it is and issue a report on it, well, then the onus is on them to pay for to solve the problem. So then you go back to the whole, you know, community buy-in, you know, plan for engagement. I like those ideas. I just think we did them already. I think what we're getting to is to kind of go back to be very blunt. I think it's a plan to circumvent any form of culling is what I see it as. And just hear me out for a second. I went in with an opinion of where I thought things should go, but with an open mind that other people didn't see things the same way I did. And I wanted to understand what other people thought. And 1 year later, I still believe that the people that don't want to call the deer, it's down to an animal rights thing. And I've heard quotes from committee members, death is permanent. You know, the public commenter, I'm here to support the deer. I respect other people's feelings, but when we live in a world where animal consumption is widely acceptable, as well as everywhere, we live in a country where abortion is legal. I'm not understanding why the anti-animal activism is really rearing its ugly head in this one little element of our big, big world.
So let me just, my frustration is. So the thing is with these people, they're not anti-culling. This isn't about culling. This is about having a structured plan for community-based deer management. It's about having an established plan. We're just this little ad hoc task force and it's got a lot of emotion to it. We need to have something that's objective. We need to have people who are going to commit to like just collecting the data. And then you know something? When they find that there are too many deer, then they can make the recommendations because they're going to be following a structured plan. I think anything, my mother, I hate to quote her all the time, but it's like, you know, halfway measures avail us nothing. If we just go and do something, it's not going to be sustainable.
But Lori, that's part of the problem though, is with a plan, it's not our land. The deer are not on our land. And the people that should be maintaining that forest preserve, whether it's through, you know, deer management population or population of the deer or, you know, cutting down, there's too many dead trees. I think they said that they haven't cut down. That's the whole kind of issue that we got into is we can't dictate the number of deer to be culled. We have to rely on the expertise of the folks that would implement this plan. And there, I guess you could say there is the risk that we have to pay for it, but I guess I had some faith in the village and in the trustees that, you know, they weren't going to recklessly spend money on something that wasn't well thought out. I mean, I think we have heard many times, this is not a one-year thing. This is likely an ongoing, you know, management until hopefully the Forest Preserve can one day get their act together and maintain their land. But I think that's where the issue, where we keep going back to, this is the Forest Preserve's land. It's not our land. There's only so much that we can do, which is why we're here, because we tried to take it into our own hands, the village meaning, to pay for the calling when the Forest Preserve weren't. And people, I believe, raised a stink. I believe the crux of it, I think people are going round and round saying, you don't have the data and so you shouldn't do it. I really believe the heart of it is animal activism and animal rights. That's where my frustration lies.
Yeah, I can appreciate
it. And I see your point.
I know. You know what though, I'm a project. I did this for a long time and I still do some project management, but there's no way you can just, okay. And also some of these places that I looked at, and they're all over the states. They are dealing with deer off of state property too. So they've got different things, and some of them will go in and cull, and some of them will go in and they'll sterilize, then cull. I mean, so they've got different approaches how they're gonna do it, but I'll tell you something. The thing that they will tell you is what makes things successful is to have an established plan so that everybody knows what's going on. It's like you can't just, this isn't about going round and round. In fact, I feel like we're at a point where we can actually recommend, we need to have a legitimate committee that will take responsibility for this and follow through. And then every year you are accountable and you have to report back and follow through these different, the indicators. You can't just do something without being able to measure it, because you don't even know if it worked.
That's the problem. It's not our land to measure, nor do they, I believe, someone jump in here that might know the answer to this. Other calling programs, do they do it by a count or a tagging? Is that even feasible?
It's my understanding, and Joel, you have more experience than I do, but it's my understanding that with regard to at least the Forest Preserve, it's all done on inferential data. In other words, it's the condition of the habitat as opposed to a number of an actual counting or a census of the deer. But Joel, you can speak to this. And then next up is Ron. I know you've been trying to talk. So.
Go ahead, Ron. I'll defer to you first. It's fine.
Muted, Ron.
First of all, I'd like to say I agree with Kathleen. I feel like we are going around in circles. I agree with a lot of what she said. I believe that there's several members of this committee who filibuster the same points over and over again at every single committee meeting. Lori, you keep bringing up sterilization. I think we know that that is not an option. We've been told that's not an option, but yet it comes up at every single meeting for some reason, and you keep going on and on about it. Also, you say, if we have too many deer, that's already been established that there's too many deers in Thatcher Woods. Cook County Forest Preserves have told us that. Anybody with two sets of eyes can see that there is too many deers in the Forest Preserves. I see them every single day. I get calls, people know that I'm on the deer committee. I get calls several times a week. Just recently, this past week, I got a call from a neighbor, a friend that lives on Gale. He had a 6-point buck eating vines off the side of his stucco house and ripping the stucco off of the side of his house. If that's not a deer problem, I mean, this is major damage to someone's home. These deers are not healthy. All you people that think you're doing these deers a favor, you're not. They're not healthy. They're living in terrible conditions in Thatcher Woods. Thatcher Woods is in horrible shape. That's also a fact. I just don't understand why we come back to these same arguments over and over again when there's no basis for them. You keep saying we need to study this, we need to do a committee on this, we need to have long-term, bring it on, Lori.
And you know what? You don't need to be on it, so you don't have to feel your time's being wasted. How's that? Because honestly, okay,
guys, let's all be sociable.
Okay. Well, all the comments. So honestly, one last thing: the comments that people put in the survey. All we have to do is talk about them, talk about whether they're feasible or not, and then you move on. Some of them can be done. So I'm just saying, if somebody mentions something multiple times, if it's brought up, I just think it's a valuable comment. Amen.
And Lori, some of the points you raised at the end, the intergovernmental agreement that we had with the Forest Preserve addresses those questions. So again, the plan was that each year the Forest Preserve, because they're the property owners, would assess the need for a next culling. So in other words, again, using the assessment of their land, they would determine whether or not the previous year's culling was sufficient to lower the herd to the size that a culling was necessary. So there is a process in place. I mean, we're not just doing this. We're not just going to kill 50 deer a year just for the sake of killing deer. But the point is that we're trying to lower the population of the herd so that the land they're supposed to live on can sustain them, as opposed to them coming out of the forest and coming into river forest. It's an unfortunate situation. I agree with a lot of things you said, Lori. But we are unfortunately put in this situation because the agency that should be responsible for maintaining the herd isn't. And so our residents are forced to suffer the damages that result from a mismanaged herd. That's the problem here. And you know, if I were the president of Cook County, I would certainly look into this, but I'm not. I'm just a trustee of the village of River Forest. And I do believe that it's incumbent on us to make sure that we protect the property of the residents of the village. Which I think the example you were using or citing was one where the group itself, the agency itself controlled the land. I know you mentioned that some of it was state land, but if we had complete control over this, then I could see how some of the points that you raised would be appropriate. But in this case, we're just simply middlemen. We are suffering the problem, and we're trying to deal with the problem. We have to do it through the processes that are available to us. So I understand the point you're making, and it would be great if we could get 100% buy-in from 100% of the community, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think that would ever be, because there are a number of people that just like to have deer in their backyard. And we have gotten reports from people of neighbors that are feeding deer, which obviously is a problem. I mean, we shouldn't be doing that, because the deer that eats at my neighbor's house, when the food's not out there, is going to come eat at my house. So there are people that don't look at this from the perspective of or don't care about this from the perspective of property damage. But my view is the first responsibility of government is to protect the value of their residents' property. I mean, that's why we pay for police. That's why we pay for fire. So I don't really know how to respond to what you said, Lori. I appreciate the work you put into it, but it seems to me the path that you're suggesting is one where we just kind of keep kicking the can down the road and ignore the immediate problem. But that's just my take. Anyone else?
Am I on or not? Hello?
Is that Jack?
Yep.
You are on, Jack.
You're on, Jack.
The thing that I found most interesting was the letter that we just got from the fella on Auburn Lane who has 7 or 8 in his backyard. I get 3 or 4 or 5, and I know cleaning up after him is a little bit of a pain, but now he's got a dog he's worried about, you know, eating the damn stuff from the deer, and then all of a sudden this guy gets sick. But, I mean, boy, if I had 8 deer in my backyard, I'll tell you, and I'm the guy, the old guy, and I've lived in the village the longest and all the rest of the stuff, and I've seen them from 0 to what they are today. And if I had that guy's problem, I'd have a gun. I mean, it's terrible what it's doing to the people. And if you went by my house lately, I have big plastic wrapped around my trees because they're starting to eat the bark off the trees that I pay for, not the village trees. You know, I mean, I've got a beautiful magnolia tree and they were ripping the damn thing up. Now, I've been there for 44 years. They've never done that. Now, when they come to going to eat off of the tree, you know, they're in really bad shape. They need help. And that means we need less of them. Thank you.
Tom, if I could share a couple comments. This is Joel.
Sure, Joel.
So if we pull up the email, and I was disappointed. I was really hoping that Chris Anker would have agreed to participate in our call tonight, but he made it very clear to me that he wants to stay out of cultural and political affairs of villages, but he said he's more than happy to offer his scientific expertise and to help frame the evidence that I think is very much in front of us all. If you refer to his email, he said that the type of damage that is easily observed by a professional ecologist in Thatcher Woods indicates a herd size of between 40 and 60 deer per square mile. And in working with other ecologists in Wisconsin, Department of Natural Resources, the target that we aim for 1 square mile is 10 or less deer. And that is a common denominator on a per square mile basis that determines the health of not only the ecosystem and all the other animals that are affected by an imbalanced ecosystem, but the health of the deer herd as well. So to Jack's comment a moment ago, my property here on Thatcher is 60 foot wide by 200 foot deep. And last week I had 8 deer on my property. Now, if you look at the size of Thatcher Woods, and I used an aerial mapping tool that I used for my engineering career, and you border North Avenue down to Madison Street to the north and the south, and Thatcher to the east and First Avenue to the west, that encapsulates Thatcher Woods. And that distance lengthwise from north to south is 2 miles, and widthwise it's approximately 1/2 mile. That is nearly a square mile. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a square mile to the last inch, but it's very close and reasonable. So just the evidence that I alone on my 60 foot wide property count 8 deer at one moment in time indicates that clearly we are way beyond what is a healthy population for 1 square mile of woods. So I think we need to be honest that we have received professional opinion. And I agree with everyone tonight and throughout this whole process who has said that, you know, the government has been a disappointment to us with respect to Thatcher Woods. But I think it's an overwhelming reality that not controlling the herd in some way is never going to solve a problem other than have folks like myself and many others continue to spend countless hours and, might I add, countless dollars in trying to maintain our property from damage. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. Actually, if you, because you were using First Avenue as your outer border, you know, really, there's at least a quarter of a mile short of First Avenue where Thatcher Woods ends.
In many years, yeah, I think it's actually less than a square mile. But to be conservative and you know, completely fair, I think it's a good comparison to a square mile. So Chris Anker said, without a doubt, there, you know, there are multiple, a factor of 4, 5, or 6 times what a healthy herd should be for 1 square mile of woods. So I, you know, I'm not trying to preach to everybody. I'm just telling you that we have received expert professional advice. And I myself, I've funded my own aerial survey over 1 square mile of woods in Door County. I have the experience, you know, to do all of that would be great in an ideal world. But I think we need to be honest with the community and the village board that a serious overpopulation does exist.
Well, and we, can I just—
Go ahead, Don, and then Ingrid.
Yes, thanks, Joel. I mean, we just wanted to add that Tommy put together that diagram that we got from the survey that community members are seeing deer all every corner of this village. There isn't a spot all the way to Harlem. So to back up what Joel said, we have that data from the survey.
Sarah actually put it together, so.
Sarah, whoever put it together, but we have the data that it's not just Joel's backyard or my backyard, which I also have had 7 deer at one time in my backyard. It's the whole community, and we have the data to prove that. That's my point.
Ingrid?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I have so many thoughts. So I guess to Lori's presentation, I and comments, what is what is the fault of putting together some kind of a long-term plan? I think we do need to have that. I mean, there, nowhere did we say, or did she say that it's wrong to call, or, I mean, I just think, how do we know that someone, I mean, Joel, are you gonna go out and survey every year and come back with the numbers? And Chris, I mean, we need to, how do we know that someone is going to assess in a year, at 2 years, at 3 years, at 4 years, at 5 years, if calling is even doing what it needs to be doing, if we don't have a starting point? So that's my first comment, because I go by science, I go by data, that's my background. I don't go by what people say. And that's my presentation. Sorry?
Just respond to that, and then I'll let you continue. But again, under the IGA, it's 5 1-year contracts. And so each year the Forest Preserve would need to justify the need for culling.
How do we know they're going to even assess when they are not able to assess now? How do we know they're going to assess again in a year? They're not even paying for it. We're paying for it.
They can't get the permits without justification. So under the
Jesus.
Right, I know that. Hey, come on. You said let's be civil here. No Jesus, no comments. I don't know who said that.
I didn't say
I know who, I heard it. So let's get this all out in terms of factual data. So the IGA, yes, you won't get a permit without a survey. So then what are we even talking about? Why are we going around and around? I get it. So if there's no survey this year, there's no survey next year, there is a survey. I mean, I just want to not belabor the point that we have to have a long-term plan. This is really not a now decision that's not going to come up again year after year after year. So I agree that
we have a permanent committee. Tom, you said earlier that there is a plan. I mean, that's part of the agreement with the Forest Preserve, correct?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure.
There's a plan that is based on funding that is does not. I mean, why wouldn't the Forest Preserve agree to something that costs them nothing?
Well, I assume they don't want to indiscriminately kill deer for the sake of killing deer. Again, they need to, Ingrid, I'm confused as to the point you're raising. Under the IGA and under Illinois Department of Natural Resource regulations, they need to establish the justification each year for the culling.
Yes, exactly.
And the number.
Right. And you're saying that no one has the funding and the government is not going to do that justification data. So then why are we even talking about this?
They don't have the justification, they don't get the permits. So again, okay. It would be an inferential report and they would say whatever they say. I mean, we've had a number of people show us what they say on these applications.
But as a committee, I'm saying that even if we don't get the permits, there should be some kind of a plan in place for the next time that that could come up that we do have the data. Why can't we move ahead with some kind of also tandem report to encourage people to get involved, like Lori's saying, and to also, while we're waiting for the IGA to say, yes, there is justified, and then now we go and we have a plan in place.
But I'm not
saying anything that's not, I think, I'm not expressing myself. I want to support the information that Lori has presented, that we need to have a more organized, unified, long-term committee to be able to carry this forward and not just what we're discussing today.
And that's,
is going around in circles. This isn't our land. We can't necessarily dictate everything that's going to be done on it. We can fund
it.
But
saying I don't know what that means. It's not our land. Then we don't have a committee to even say what's on our land.
It's not our land, and they haven't offered to maintain it the way that they should. So we, being the residents, complained so much to the village. The village said, well, maybe we'll just pay for it. And that's how they did all this work with IDNR and mapped out a plan, which was their determination of how many deer would be killed. I mean, do we need, I guess, are we supposed to tag
here
and come up with definitive numbers? I mean, we go back to, from the beginning, it's anecdotal evidence, which is sufficient to justify the overpopulation. I'm analytical too, so I know what you're saying in that regard, but this can't be this perfect analytical formula for maintaining for the correct population. I mean, we have to go off of what their plan, what we agree to with the plan. And nobody's trying to completely eradicate the deer population. That would be a waste of our money.
I'm only gonna say one more thing, but I'm not hearing what the analytical plan will be for next year or the year after or the year after. I haven't heard that.
Well, Ingrid, Jack, you'll speak next, but Ingrid, just to let you know that the brief of this committee isn't that longer term thing. We are simply to make a recommendation, make a report to the board on the singular issue. There is no, once we've made that report, our responsibility ends. We can discuss whether or not it would make sense to have a continuing committee, but at least for the purposes of this commission, whatever we're called, task force, we have a limited responsibility of making a report to the village board. If there's interest in having a continuing committee, I'm fine with suggesting that to the board, but I'm just telling you what our responsibility is. So we have a singular responsibility of making a recommendation to the board on the issue of deer management. Jack Flynn, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say the same thing. This whole committee is just to come up with an idea of how the community overall feels about what to do, and we pass that on. So if we had a vote, we'd be able to say, okay, here's the deal. We think this should happen. There's going to be experts handling the rest of it from then on. But I just think that, you know, you're at a point where you could argue this for another 2 hours, but I think you should ask for a vote and say, what do you want to do? Do you want to tell them that we think that because of the overpopulation of the deer, it would be intelligent to look into culling the deer and pass that on to the board?
We'll get there at some point, Jack. Anything more on
Can I ask a question? Just one quick question.
Yeah, but okay.
Has there been a culling before?
In River Forest, no.
So there's never been a culling before. So it's never been done before. So there is no blueprint by which, and there's no number that has been established.
It's been done in other forest preserve,
in River Forest. Okay. No. The purpose of the survey was to
get the gym. By the committee, we had the public comment section earlier, so we don't want to get to a point, because otherwise, then these meetings just go on forever if everyone gets to talk. So I apologize, but you had your opportunity to speak in the public comment section. Anything else on Kathleen?
Yeah, I just want to further Jack's point that I think people have taken this a little bit further to micromanaging what the village does, and I agree that what Jack said our duties were at the outset of this. And you know, I think what you're trying to do is, if you take an analogy of that, they were trying to turf the baseball fields because they were getting too wet and not enough games could be played. I mean, it would be akin to saying, well, how much did it rain that year? How much did the water, how much did the grass absorb? How much can it absorb? How much will the turf be able to absorb? How much will it rain next year? I mean, this is where we have to trust, I think, our elected representatives to go from here after we make our recommendation.
Anyone else? Lori?
See, it's so much more than about whether or not to cull. I mean, people have concerns about Lyme's disease. People have concerns about their children being afraid of deer. People have asked about why haven't we considered doing some kind of a community deer management program. They ask us about this. So I don't know why this is such a single focused task force, because we surveyed people and we don't even use that data. So you know what? If they bring
Thank
these things up, we are not addressing. Honestly, I am objective about this. If you can demonstrate that we know what the herd size is, and we know what we would like is the ideal herd size, which, by the way, because I did a bunch of reading on this, at these different programs they do, they recommend 25 deer to a square mile. So that's what I read in multiple ones. Nowhere did I see anything about 10 deer to a square mile. I'm just saying. And you can take them out, but the problem is they're just going to migrate right on back down. So we need to look at this from a bigger picture. So we need to address things we can do to discourage the deer. I mean, maybe we'll end up calling in the end, but you cannot deny that there are other things and addressing people's concerns about Lyme disease. So many people are worried about that. And then you ask all these people, they don't want you to kill the deer. So at least we should respect that we need to show them that we are looking at the whole survey. And we're also considering how this impacts our community, not just the people who live by the forest preserve. I'm sorry, but I mean, I've got deer in my yard too, but this is bigger than your yard. You know, this is our community. Filibuster or not, I'll mute myself now. So thank you.
Oh, why am I think he's bouncing me off, but Lori, on the issue of migration, as far as everyone that I've heard from, deer stay local. So there, if we do a culling, there won't be deer migrating south or north to take up the place of the deer that have been culled. I mean, I know a lot of people have thrown that around, but I've yet to hear any experts say, even Joel, even Tim, what's his name, the IDNR guy, said that the deer do not migrate from their home turf. That's so right. We need to dispatch with that argument that somehow culling is a pointless effort because deer are just going to come and fill the space, because it's just not true. There's been no one that suggested that. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, at the IDNR guys, I forgot his name, but at his presentation a year and a half ago at the village, he made that a very clear point that deer stay in their habitat. They're not going to be, there's very little migration from one forest to the next. I mean, that's just the reality, and he's the expert, so I wouldn't have known that. Secondly, I would say, you guys are all talking about 6, 7, 8 deer that you've seen in your yard. Last fall, I on the Dominican lawn, I was walking the dog and I counted 20 in just a small little section, 20 deer. So clearly that wasn't the whole herd. If I had to guess, I'm pretty analytical as well. I bet we have over 100 in our square 3/4 mile. So.
Anyone else? Deb.
I appreciate everybody's, comments this evening. And I feel the same feelings that people on the committee keep on saying stuff like, we have to investigate this or look at this, but we've done our due diligence. We've gotten the expert recommendations, and one thing I would like to share, I'm gonna do share screen, I hope it works. I will see if it does. So you can let me know. Can you see my screen?
Yes, Dan.
So, obviously, there's an overpopulation of deer. We heard from the experts, that they've done their recommendations. They told us. We understand their financial dilemma at county level. We surveyed the folks in River Forest, and as you can see the chart, the people that said they have issues that should be addressed, almost 300 prefer lethal killing, and then almost 200 prefer a combination. So please do not use the argument that people have not spoken that are affected. The people that are affected that have deer issues that we are here to address have clearly stated that they want action. And, there is a minority that says do nothing, other options, okay? But clearly We did the survey. We heard the responses. They're telling us. Or, you know, I mean, unless the other folks on the committee want to continue to doubt the facts and put doubt into the experts or to our survey, I am so convinced by the due diligence this committee has done that we are ready to make a decision and we are ready to, you know, continue on the efforts if we can get programs for people that really, really want to protect their land and do all the plantings. But, you know, at the end of the day, we already talked about the village is not going to fine a resident of River Forest for feeding deer. The village is not going to stop neighbors calling on neighbors and reporting them because, you know, they planted the wrong plants. We're not going to mandate fencing. We're not going to put up fencing against Thatcher Woods. I can go on and on. Obviously, if I hear the argument for birth control one more time, I think my head will explode. No disrespect. But we've done our due diligence. Now it's time to listen to the people. Listen to what they want. And I can see it right here on this graph. And if you can't see it, I don't know what to say. I really hope that you would open and be open to protecting the people of River Forest before somebody seriously gets hurt. Some serious car accident or some serious Lyme disease, which won't be proven. You know, I mean, it's very hard. Or some serious, you know, these people their children not being able to play in their yards. You know, obviously, it's a really concern. But I get it. You don't see it that way. That you're right. You know, we can voice the doubts and that we have to prolong it and push it off and push it off and push it off. But no, I do not agree with that. It's time for action now. We can still do those other things after the vote. We can still educate the ones that want to be educated. We can still support the rich people that want big fences, even though I'm totally against it. You know, we can have programs about the people that want to plant the plants, but you're not going to get it mandated by the village. We've already been that route. I've asked Tom that a number of times. So I implore you to look at the facts, to not put doubt where we have investigated and proven what is going on here. We have a deer problem. People that have been affected want action. This chart proves it, and I'll leave it at that. That's my comments. Thank you.
For those on the phone, just to let you know that the chart Dan was referring to was from page question 13, which asks, are you currently experiencing any deer issues? And then asks for the, it's count of, are you experiencing any deer issues currently? And then it is a bar graph showing the response, roughly 250 people that were experiencing deer problems, preferred lethal, calling 100 preferred non-lethal, 200 preferred a combination of the two, and then 50 or so do nothing, 75-ish there were other options, and the no opinion was relatively small.
Tom, I'd like to speak next.
Go ahead, Julie. Dan, can you take this off your screen?
I'm trying, Tom. I'm trying. Your screen is sure. That's why I was doing. Stop sharing. Okay. Thank you. There we go.
We're good to go. Go ahead, Julie.
Thanks, Tom. So I've listened to a lot of this we've all been sitting here for a year. Dan, I respectfully disagree with your assessment here. I genuinely disagree. And the reason is that there's kind of a subpopulation of folks who have basically said, I have feces in my yard and my plants are being eaten, but there's really no evidence saying and citing that we have life or death situations. The life or death situation here is for the wildlife. That's the reality. I certainly take very serious precautions and would, if we were citing a lot of traffic incidents, if we were citing a lot of incidents with deer in yards and where anyone was getting hurt, God forbid, that would not be acceptable. But I don't agree that the majority population of river forest has weighed in. It's folks that have basically said in the majority that they have plant issues or feces issues in their yards. And that is the majority saying, because I have plant issues or feces issues, I want to kill the deer. That's basically the results that you were putting on the screen. So I just want to bring clarity to that for anyone, participating here. As far as the white-tailed deer, I'm not an expert. I don't work for the IDNR. I don't feel like we've had too much expert opinion, especially in like a fair report scenario, but you can Google right now, white-tailed deer and their migration patterns. And literally the first five things that'll come up on Google says that they roam 20 miles. River Forest is like what, a couple miles? So I don't agree with the fact that we have proven that if we go cull, that we won't still have issues. And my issue is not culling per se. My issues, in my perspective on this committee, has always been, if we are going to make the cull decision, then it needs to actually help. And we can't just keep throwing money at it because the Forest Preserve don't want to do their job. It actually says the deer migrate because they lack food or they're being preyed upon. It's one of the two. And we, per Joel's research that was sent around, it's like the deforestation and things have, proved that they don't have the vegetation that they need. So that is where I think Lori and many of us have been coming from day one, is like, let's take a step approach. Let's try some things instead of going from zero to lethal. And I think that that's kind of, that's the problem that I have, respectfully, with where it's been going. And it feels like a lot of people, and I'm sorry, guys, but we've been at this long enough. And it feels like we've come in with our positions, or many have, and we're not willing to move off of them. And we're not willing to actually compromise about what needs to be done and say, well, let's try one and two. And then if one and two don't work after a period of time, we'll go to three. But it just seems we're going to zero in on lethal. That's my perspective. And I challenge full blown that they don't migrate, because that's crap. You can Google it and it says they go within 20 miles. And I have not seen anyone willing to truly step up, except anecdotal evidence when we call upon them. We're not even on their radar to say, let's go start culling this area. And I think that we really need to ask ourselves, are we doing the right things based upon, yes, we need to help the community of the people that have an issue, and we need to preserve the facet of, we are called river forest. And with a forest comes this, responsibility now, because we're here as a committee. So that's what I would say.
Just to add, the deer don't have any predators either. So they're just multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. That's the issue. There are too many. There are no predators.
Guys, let's not all talk over each other, please.
Yeah, I don't know the coyote count, but that is their predator. And I don't have a coyote count either. So I can't answer that intelligently, Don.
Only little does. I mean, they're not, coyotes don't kill deer. I mean, they go for squirrels and birds and, or squirrels and rabbits and shit.
Kathleen?
A couple comments in response to that. In terms of, I think the migration thing is when you're talking about
rural land, not a very urban area where they have to cross major intersections to migrate. That was my understanding on the migration. And then, you know, I do think, Julie, with all due respect, I've heard you say, you know, death is permanent and that, you know, it's more about the wildlife and the life or death part being for the wildlife. And with all due respect, guys, if you have the longevity of the herd in mind, and if that's a soft spot for you, and if we do think people in the community care about that, once you have chronic wasting disease, it's over. And how come that isn't, I mean, that is also a benefit of a deer management program, avoiding chronic wasting disease. And it just be positioned as, well, the people that want their plants are jerks and they want to kill deer. I mean, it's a population management system, not a deer eradication. It's not something that we're just, you know, looking to, you know, kill off, you know, Bambi's mother and, you know, call it a day. I don't have a soft spot.
I'm going to respond to you saying there is no soft spot here. It's the lack of evidence. And it's lack of information.
That's where we're going around and round, though.
I agree.
Truly, we're going around and round on the lack of evidence.
We just did a whole survey.
Once again, guys, we're filibustering once again. When you say it's life or death for the wildlife, I think that's a statement that probably is prioritizing, you know, animal rights over residents' enjoyment of their property for which they pay for.
And then Marta, but just Julie, to your point, I mean, I throughout this entire thing, I just keep thinking of Dylan's line of, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. It's obvious there are too many deer in Thatcher Woods. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming.
In view of
the map, in view of John Jack Flynn's history of River Forest, in view of the number of people that have spoken that they've never, I've lived here for 20 years. I have never seen this many deer.
Being an expert in deer.
So, okay. So, John, go ahead. And John, Annette, and then.
Can I have one? I'm kind of with Ron and Jack and Dan that I think we need to move. This discussion is getting boring. I mean, I think we should just vote. I mean, I really do. And then that's all.
Okay. Marty, you had your hand up.
Just briefly, I think that what Lori is also saying is that we need to be accountable for whatever decision is made. And if we don't have all the right information, and I'm sorry, we don't, then how do we answer to the people who we are supposed to be representing? And my other comment is, and maybe this isn't on point, but a number of years ago, the village stopped subsidizing injecting of our beautiful, majestic American elms because it was too costly. But now we're going to be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars because the deer eat people's hosta. Somehow that doesn't sit well with me. It wasn't supposed to be about landscaping, but if we don't
have landscaping.
It's my turn. If we don't have money and we're losing elm trees, which have been here for over 100 years, but we're gonna spend money to shoot deer because they're eating people's hosta, that just doesn't sit well with me.
Okay, Joel?
Just for a helpful point of clarification, Chris Anker did mention that the Forest Preserve District has conducted radio collar studies, and I may have mentioned that during our last committee meeting concerning studies that have documented deer migration. And during the rut, the bucks can leave their immediate areas, but he said that there is evidence that they do come back. So I just wanted to mention that as an additional study that Chris Anker from Cook County Forest Preserve, senior wildlife biologist, did mention, if I failed to make that clear earlier. And I just want to also say that I applaud Lori and Ingrid. You know, a long-term plan, a committee in the long term, I think would be great. I just think we need to be realistic about what we're facing at the current time in doing something that's going to be effective and actually make a difference. But I completely respect all views on this issue. I just think we need to be very real about the problem we face right now. Thanks.
Thank you, Joel. Anyone else?
I'll move on.
Bear with me.
Question.
Go ahead, Ingrid.
Maybe I'm going out of order, but who exactly is writing up this summary for to present to the village? I think we talked about it, but I can't remember now.
The plan was for Sarah and I to draft it, and then the committee will have the opportunity to weigh in. I'm amenable to allowing dissenting reports if someone wants to do something. But my thought is just simply that somebody's got to do it. It can't be a group project because I think that's just too challenging. And so what I was thinking of is doing a draft circulating to the committee, but at some point we just have to have a final document. So we actually, that's an item for the agenda to discuss how to do it. I'm just telling you what I envisioned, but I'm not wedded to that.
We're going to vote.
Hold on, Jack. Before we have the vote on the recommendation of the committee, we need to have a vote on the releasing items to the website. And my computer's taking forever. There it is. Okay. It's a vote on adding a questionnaire results to the Deer Management Committee website. Can I just get a motion? I'm assuming no one has an objection to that because it's going to be a part of the report anyway. But just for the sake of clarity, we thought it was important that everyone weigh in. So can I get a motion to allow questionnaire results to be added to the Deer Committee website?
Make a motion. Or whoever.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you. Sarah, if you would, call the roll.
Yeah, so that's Lori made the motion, and that was...
I believe Dan seconded.
Dan.
Jack.
Okay. Pull this up here. All right, Tom?
Yes.
Dan Hollenbach?
Yes.
Kathleen Hughes?
Yes.
Don Mizgala?
Yes.
Ron Lamar?
Unmute, Ron.
Yes.
Thank you. John Rieger?
Yes.
Annette Madden?
I'm sorry to do this, but I'm unclear. What am I voting on right now? I'm still lost in thought.
This is a motion. So the staff has asked that we approve the uploading of the survey results to the website.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Ingrid Liu?
Yes.
Catherine Christmas?
Yes.
Joel Luking?
Yes.
Lori Gillard?
Yes.
Jack Flynn?
Yes.
Julie Armstrong?
Yes.
And Marta Kosberg?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. We're on the issue of culling deer. Can I get a motion with regard to making a recommendation to the village board on culling deer?
I so moved.
You actually need to stop.
I have a comment or question. I've had my hand raised. I don't know if I'm not on the video.
I couldn't see it. You're like really dark. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just had a question. Given that we have these votes coming up, Tom, I assume that because you vote as a board member, you don't vote as a committee member on these, or do you vote as a committee member and not a board member?
Well, I'm a member of this committee.
So then I presume you don't get two votes, though, to vote for something on the committee and then you get to vote for it again on the board?
Well, it's two separate bodies. I mean...
Well, no, but you're approving the same thing twice.
Well, no, we're making a recommendation, which would then go to the board. So.
Well, right, but you put in the agenda that it's not a, it's just a call or no call vote that we're doing tonight. I'm asking if you get to do that and then also vote on the board. It seems like a double vote.
Well, no, we're making a recommendation to the board. The board can accept or deny the recommendation. I mean, I'm a member of this committee by the ordinance that established the committee.
And right, so but the details don't indicate whether or not you can vote. And there was supposed to be another co-chair who's not here. So it's just a confusing setup now.
I can abstain from voting. I don't really have a problem with that.
Well, I was asking what the process was. So you're saying it doesn't seem to be detailed.
It was my understanding that I'm a member of this committee pursuant to the ordinance that established the committee. And so pursuant to my being a member of the committee, I have a vote on the committee. I don't know that my being a village trustee in any way impacts that. I just, you know, I mean, it was just always my take of it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I let's see if my vote matters. I'll vote last.
Okay.
What we could do, I can call your name last, and then also when it gets to the Village Board of Trustees, we can ask Greg to weigh in on it. Greg's our village attorney.
That's a good idea, sir.
Okay.
So I need a motion.
So moved.
Jack, what is your actual motion?
My motion is to recommend to the board that we cull some deer.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion. I mean, we've kind of made the arguments already in favor or against, but if anyone has anything else to add, please take this opportunity.
Tom, from our first meeting, this is Joel, and if this is a matter of procedure, I'm perfectly fine to let this point go to the wayside, but I've never thought cull is at all an appropriate or a fair term. This is a control hunt. I would prefer that we use the term control instead of cull. That's my only comment.
Okay. Jack and whoever seconded, do you mind amending your motion to say control rather than cull?
Fine, if they understand what control means. It's fine with me.
And I forget who seconded.
I did.
So we've used cull the whole year. I mean, to change it to controlled to make it sound better is just seems a little bit after the fact. I think we stick with what we've stayed with. Just, I'm sorry you don't agree with the term, but that's what we've used for over a year.
Okay.
Didn't we?
It's also what we used on the survey.
Okay, well, let's stick with cull.
That's fine.
Can I say one thing? On the survey, we did define what cull was because people didn't, you know, on this committee actually said they didn't understand what cull was. And so we had cull, which was a controlled hunt. It was defined on the survey. So I think
how about cull / control?
That's what I'm saying. We could use the same language that we used on the survey.
Let's just go with cull.
I don't know what to call it first.
Okay, so any more comments? I mean, we've kind of hashed this. We've been hashing the same points over for almost a year now.
Yeah. Is this a vote?
Yeah.
This is a vote.
Okay, so are you asking for us to vote?
Well, I'm asking if anyone, before we commit to the vote, I want to make sure that all the discussion has been had.
Such a fun discussion.
No one?
I do.
Go ahead, Dan.
I feel it's very important to say that this does not stop any efforts to, you know, do combination efforts to mitigate the deer issues that have been highlighted in the survey. It is a best solution that we're going to vote on. I hope you'll vote for it. But I hope that it won't stop you or our committee from pursuing education and, you know, what we have on our website, which I feel that people have not even watch the first video, but that's just an opinion. So I really encourage you to, that we pursue those. But I think it's important that we nip this in the butt, so to speak, before there is really serious consequences in our village.
John, Annette, and then Kathleen.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say for the record, I came in with, thinking that I wanted to call, and then midway through, I was actually pretty leaning towards the other way, listening to a number of other arguments and some of the survey. But I mean, ultimately, I'm going to vote the way I'm going to vote. But I think Joel's data and his sharing of the expertise from the Forest Preserve is ultimately why I'm swinging the way I'm swinging. And, I don't think that it was just because I had a bias coming in and that was it, for the record.
Annette, you didn't want to talk? I thought you had your, okay. So Kathleen?
I just want to say on record before we take the vote that my vote is based on not what I personally feel or think. I'm taking this based on the knowledge that I've learned throughout this whole process, and voting based upon that knowledge as well as what I view the village to have represented in the survey.
Sorry, anyone else?
Tom, this is Joel again. I'm sorry to continue here, but is it possible to add to that language that this call will be done by the guidance of Illinois DNR, a scientific professional opinion? Is that something that we can clarify in our motion?
Or is that going to clarify the motion? I mean, I think that would be reflected in the report itself. Remember that tonight we're just voting on a recommendation. Yeah. We still will next month need to approve the report itself.
I was getting ahead of myself.
Our committee isn't done. We will still have at least one more meeting. And we'll discuss that after the vote. But if there's no more comments, Sarah, can you call the roll?
All right. Dan Hollenbach.
Unmute. I got it. Just a simple yes.
So yes is to support the motion. You can vote no if you do not support the recommendation. Kathleen Hughes.
Yes.
Don Mizgala.
Yes.
Ron Lamar.
Yes.
John Rager.
Yes.
Annette Madden.
No.
Ingrid Liu.
No.
Catherine Christmas.
No.
Joel Luking.
Yes.
Lori Gillard.
No.
Jack Flynn.
Yes.
Julie Armstrong.
No.
Marta Kosberg.
No.
And Chairperson Tom Cargi.
Yes.
All right, let me tally this up real quick. Hang on.
8-6.
It's reflective of a village. I mean, it's a testament to the village president's ability to balance a board. It's where we're at. I mean, the survey clearly shows that there is no pervasive opinion one way or the other on this. I will just share my thoughts that we have an obligation to protect personal property. And Julie, you may discount the importance of feces and pastas, but it's still people's property that we're leaving unprotected. So that's been my position from the beginning. We are free to disagree. That's the beauty of America. So going forward, the plan is that we'll write a report, and the report will be circulated in enough time to give you guys an opportunity to weigh in. If you feel like you want to write a dissenting report, I have no problem with that. You're free to add whatever comments you want to it. I haven't quite figured out how to structure it yet, but at least going forward, the goal will be to have something to you within 2 weeks, Sarah?
I didn't say that I didn't believe in protecting people's property. So I'm not sure why I was thrown out there kind of in the final comments of your voting posture, but I'm a little mystified by that, but it's just kind of par for the course. So we can move on, Sarah, but Tom, come on.
But you specifically said that it's people concerned about feces and hostas. I was just commenting. I mean, to me, that's something that struck out, that the reason I commented on it was because you were saying
to put him in closing arguments when you're a village trustee.
Exactly.
I just don't know. I have a right to my opinion. I've shared it just like everybody else has. And just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean it needs to be in your closing summation. Thank you.
I'm not suggesting you don't have a right to your opinion. I'm just. It was something that stuck in my head. I meant no disrespect by it. It was just, it was
such a weasel.
Annette, you had a comment?
I was just going to say in response to yours about our village president doing such a wonderful job picking a committee, I would have to say that I think the exact opposite. I think that this committee was chosen by her in regards to who her friends were, who were the biggest complainers, and who wanted a call from the first place. I actually came on, I know you said I didn't, but I actually came on with a open mind, and I am not an animal lover. Actually, I am, but I am not against a call. I actually came on to learn about the deer, learn about our committee, and all I really learned about was exactly how our government is run. And it is rigged from the beginning, and I'm embarrassed to be a part of this group. And Dawn, I hope I'm never on a committee again that you are part of, because I think you were a big part of the problem. And I know that's so rude, but that's how I feel. So wow. I am.
That is really rude.
Come on, guys.
That is really rude.
I bit my tongue all.
It sounds awful.
I know. And I feel the same as in that, as far as I came into this neutral. I wanted data. And that's just not what we got. We got like, it's just not. And the fact that I was part of the summary is just offensive. I didn't say a word.
I apologize, Julie. I didn't mean to specifically mention you. It's just-
I have done an enormous amount of work on this committee. Side work, my husband, I have done an enormous amount of side hustle to get data in front of everybody, and I've worked across the aisle with Joel, with Annette, with John, with Lori, with everybody on this committee. And I was here to get data and make a decision on data. And I agree with Annette to the point that, like, I do feel like the majority of this committee came with their mind made up. And you can disagree all you want, but I'll use that in my summary comments. That's how I feel. Your minds were made up.
If the vote completely went in,
yeah, would you be saying the same thing?
But it doesn't, and we need a motion to adjourn. This is ridiculous.
Well, are we?
I agree.
Can I just get a sense
of? Can we get the final count, please?
It was 8-6. Can I get?
And Tom, you're going to double check that your vote is going to count twice. Is that what? That's what you're checking. Because, I mean, your opinion has been clear the start of this, too. So if you're getting two votes, you came in with a clear agenda. I know, but we're sending a vote to the board. I think the details of the vote matter.
You guys are being, this is ridiculous, because apparently you came in with an agenda, too. So let's just stop and move on.
Guys, let's finish this.
And people who I was on a committee with Julie. We did just fine. We didn't have any problems. So Annette, you don't know me? That is ridiculous that you're making comments like that. I don't know who you think you are.
We're almost done with this. Can we be collegial to the end, please? Julie, I apologize. I shouldn't have specifically mentioned you. I regret that.
I appreciate that, because I feel like I've been...
You're perfectly right.
Thank you.
You are correct that I shouldn't have specifically singled you out. I didn't mean to. It was just simply the comments you made was what I was thinking of when I was coming up, not so much my closing, but just my explanation for my vote. But I do apologize. I didn't mean to call you out, and it was inappropriate of me. Okay, so the plan is, Sarah, I'm looking to you. that hopefully we can get a report to you, a draft report, because again, I'm just doing this so that we have something to talk about, to you within 2 weeks, and then we meet within 2 weeks to approve that final report. John, that doesn't work?
I'm not looking forward to that meeting, that's all.
Me neither. but does that seem to be a decent framework, at least? We don't need to vote on it, but just if I could just get feedback.
I think if more than 2 weeks is needed, Tom, that's entirely reasonable.
Fine.
Okay, well, can we pull out our calendars?
So I have a question, Tom.
Yes, Tom.
You know, obviously we know what the recommendation of the majority is, and will we recommend, there was a lot of comments about continuing the efforts of the Deer Committee to track this and to implement these other things. Will we recommend that, to continue on the efforts, because there's just more one effort, you know, to track this and to make sure that the public is, so, you know, gets the information, and that we, you know, try the mitigation efforts. Hopefully, you know, some, you know, people that are interested in that. I mean, will we continue on in those efforts, or is it just, are we going to be done, do you think, after?
We can make the recommendation, but I'm judging by tonight's meeting, there isn't probably a will of the committee to continue to meet.
You know, I disagree with that.
Well, I disagree. I think there's well, anyway, we will have another meeting, but I just want to put that in everybody's thoughts. I think choline is so important, but the other effort should be also you know, put out there if people are interested.
Thank you, Dan, for bringing that up, because I do think it's really important, and I appreciate it.
I have no problem with adding it as a recommendation to the board. I mean, recognize though that it would require a new ordinance to continue the committee, because this committee's responsibilities end with the filing of the report.
That might be a good thing.
Okay. Yeah, I think we could, you know, we could get behind that hopefully at the next meeting, and you know, I think you know, hopefully, you know, I implore again everybody that voted, you know, against the choline to, you know, still read and still educate themselves and watch the original video from the experts and read the email that, you know, Joel sent, and really, you know, dig deep, because it's a, you know, it's not black and white. All right.
Does March 2nd work with the plan of getting out something 2 weeks beforehand to you?
March 2nd?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yes.
Tom, what are we doing? I'm sorry.
So the final meeting of the committee will be to approve the final report. It'll be hopefully a quick meeting.
Okay.
So, and again, if someone wants to write their own thing, their own portion of the report, they're more than entitled to. Just get it to Sarah with sufficient advance notice so that we can get it out. But anyone have a problem with March 2nd?
You know what? I'm going to be out of town on March 2nd. I'm going on vacation. So,
right.
So we just a week before, a week after, it's fine.
Well, Sarah, you want to go a week before, a week after?
Let's see here. The February 23rd, I believe, is open.
Okay.
As far as the village.
Does February 23rd work for everyone?
Yes.
Yes, Marta.
It's report card week at school.
Oh. Okay, so how about March
9th? Yeah.
I understand. How about March 9th? Okay. So March 9th, 7:30, we will get the report to you by the 23rd. That gives people 2 weeks to read it, to comment, to obviously the comments, send them to Sarah. You can't send them to the entire committee. Send them to Sarah. Sarah can then disseminate them to the committee. And again, if you want to write your own report, you're more than welcome to. I have no, you know, I mean, that's you're entitled to have that opportunity as a member of the committee. Thanks, everyone. Unfortunately, this was a somewhat heated meeting. Julie, again, I do apologize. I feel bad about that. I'll see you, see you in a month.
I want to thank Hold on. And I want to thank Tom, Sarah, too, for all her hard work.
Tom?
Yes, Jack.
Well, and thank you.
I can only say that I don't know anybody who could have handled this group any better than you did. I'm just amazed at your patience. And if I had that, I'd probably run the world. Thank you very much.
I
second that. And I don't, because I don't think it's, you know, you apologized for singling somebody out. Other people on this committee who have just singled me out have not done that. Very inappropriate, very disappointing. And Tom, only you can handle that. Thank you.
Hey, Thanks, Julie, everyone. Can I just give Julie a shout out? I know, Julie, you did put a tremendous amount of time in behind the scenes. I know that. So I do really appreciate that.
Thank you, Kathleen. That means a lot. Like, look, I'm okay to agree to disagree on things. I genuinely have just wanted to have a respectful and data focused like conversation. And that is what I'm about. And we're all neighbors at the end of it. I kind of want to remind us all of that, like just as we kind of part, like we are all neighbors here and it's a really tough time. And we just did this all remote and it's a lot. I mean, we have been a town divided on this, honestly, and whichever split you want to look at, you know, but we're all neighbors. And, you know, I think we all should thank ourselves for putting the time in regardless of which side we're on, honestly.
Be nice if when the world goes back to normal, we could have a drink together and not talk about deer.
thanks to everyone. I mean, I'll make this more complete next meeting, but thanks to everyone for all the work you've done. Julie, the census committee or the survey committee, you guys did an incredible amount of work and we really do appreciate it. I don't mean to diminish the work that anyone's done. I'll see you next month.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank we do just everybody. Need a motion to adjourn.
Sarah, we need a motion to adjourn, and unfortunately, it's a roll call vote. We need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Sarah?
Okay, hang on. Taping away here. Okay. Chairperson Karji.
Yes.
Dan Hollenbach.
Yes.
Kathleen Hughes.
Yes.
Don Mizgala. Ron Lamar?
Yes.
John Rieger?
Yes.
Annette Madden?
Yes.
Ingrid Liu?
Yes.
Catherine Christmas?
I think she's gone.
Already left, okay. Joel Luking?
Yes.
Lori Gillard? She may have also already left. Jack Flynn?
Gone.
Julie Armstrong?
Gone.
She left.
Marty
Cook. Do we not have a quorum to adjourn a meeting?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. Now we're adjourned.
Hey, Sarah, just can you get an opinion from Greg on my voting? And then if once he gives it to you, can you just distribute that to committee?
Yes.
Thanks. Can do.